This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
From ESPN Studios, it is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. We got breaking news that we got to get to immediately for you. The day before Thanksgiving, a big Week 12 in the NFL coming up, and of course, rivalry week in college football. Lots to get to. You want to be part of this. So be part of Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call online. Call us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. It's the one fans deserve. Bar Scott, we got the news just moments ago. The Jets will be benching Zach Wilson for Week 12 against Chicago on Sunday. He will not even dress for the game. He will be QB3. He will be out of the game, inactive. Mike White will get the start. Joe Flacco, the backup. Your thoughts?
I mean, I think, you know, this was important for being able to keep control of the team. This is not about Zach Wilson's play. This is about sending a message that nobody's above reproach, that we expect you to conduct yourself a certain way, be professional. And, you know, this is a teachable moment for him to show him that, listen, you can't go up there and do that, because not only are you representing yourself, but you're representing the New York Jets as well. And as I wouldn't call the quarterback the CEO, I would say maybe the head coach the CEO. I would say the quarterback is maybe the president, right? And, you know, he has to conduct himself almost like a player, but also like management as well, you know, because he sets the tone. And he set the tone, and he brought all of this on himself. And if he can't learn from this, teachable moment, then he may be one of these quarterbacks that find himself like Sam Darnold, you know, hoping to get – he's QB3, but he's going to get a start this week with Carolina.
Yep.
And when you lose your job and you're not seen as somebody's guy because this regime is the one that picked you, when you go somewhere else and you're not somebody's guy, you're not from that regime – you have a very short leash, and you find yourself being a backup in this league. It is 32 jobs, starting jobs, in this league to be the starting quarterback for a franchise. And if you have one of them, those are coveted positions, but they are leased. They are not owned. And, you know, you got to have enough sweat equity to be able to endure through tough times. And he has none, because it's a young career. And if he doesn't figure this out now, then he'll never figure it out, and he'll find his stint in the NFL a very short one.
What he doesn't want to do is join a list of this. Browning Nagel, Geno Smith, Christian Hackenberg, and Sam Darnold that you just mentioned. These are guys, these are quarterbacks the Jets drafted that there was a lot of hope behind them becoming the one, and those four never became the one. At least Mark Sanchez, in the beginning of his career, got you to playoff games. At least he got you to AFC Championship games. So you can't say anything about that draft. Maybe long-term it didn't work out.
Right.
But what you don't want to be with Zach Wilson is among that group of Jet frustration and Jet failure. Geno Smith, no longer that. Obviously in Seattle, getting it done later in his career. But still, those other names that I put there,
but
very, you do not want to be part of that list. So Robert Saleh just met with the media a few minutes ago, and he had to, of course, explain the decision. And one of the things he wanted to make clear was for Zach Wilson – this is not the end.
So the big thing I want to make sure I address on this one, just want to make sure you guys all listen to this very carefully, please. Zach's career here is not over. I know that's going to be the narrative. I know that that's what everybody wants to shout out, and that's not even close to the case. The intent, the full intent, is to make sure Zach gets back on the football field at some point this year. When that is, I'll make that decision. I'm going to take it day to day. The biggest thing with Zach, and the same things that we've talked about, is the young man needs a reset. His decision-making's been fine. His practice habits, all that stuff have been fine. But there's some basic fundamental things that have gotten really out of whack for him. And this is just an opportunity for him to sit back, focus on those things, find a way to get reconnect to all the different things that we fell in love with during the draft process. And it's something that I feel like he's going to be able to do. I think to ask him to do all those things while preparing for a game is unfair. But at the same time, it's something, just talking with Zach, that I think we're all excited to attack. And this is, you know, like I said, is it a small step back? Absolutely, for him. But do I think it's going to be a great leap forward when he does get a chance to reset himself? Absolutely.
So what do you think of that, Bart? Robert Saleh basically saying that, you know, that he'll be back at some point this year. So he wouldn't say this is a one game thing, that he needs a reset and to fix some fundamentals and whatnot that he has to do. And you can't do that while preparing for a game. You buying all that?
Yeah, the fundamentals is leadership. right? Qualities. It has nothing to do with – if it's not decision-making, if it's nothing to do with his way and his ability to prepare, then it's about his execution and understanding what the job is of being the quarterback, and especially being the quarterback in New York. You can't be – and you can't talk to the way, to the media. You can't not own up the way that – because you, that's – you know, what he's saying is losing the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's talking about. That's the job. The job is being the leader, right? The job is being humble. The job is being able to prop everybody else up and prop yourself up last. Because guess what? Everybody else props you up. So you have to be able to prop everybody else up. You get credit for everything that everybody else does. And you get none of the blame. So you have to be able to harness that. And for you not to shoulder any of the blame for a horrible performance as an offense shows a lack of leadership and a lack of awareness. And either you get it now or you'll never get it, because you're going to have more bad days than good days. And if he hasn't accepted that, that's going to spill over into Wednesday practice. Mm-hmm. That's going to spill over to Thursday practice. And we got business to take care of. We can't let your lack of experience and maturity slow this caboose down, because everything else is ready to make a push towards the playoffs, to get rid of a narrative being the last team to be in the playoffs in the NFL. The longest drought, the New York Jets.
That's right.
Right? That's more important than your feelings. And if you want to carry this over and get in your feelings, then that's a you problem.
Well, all right. The idea of addressing idea of the locker room and what you just said there is Zach Wilson lose the locker room. Is that part of this decision? Robert Saleh also addressed that.
It's my opinion, and I know that there's always going to be that discussion. Well, he's going to lose the locker room. Zach doesn't have the locker room. I don't think players go out there. We play for one another. We fight for one another. We do that. But at the same time, I don't think a player is going to play any less harder because he doesn't like his teammate. He's playing hard for his family. He's playing hard for the guys that he loves on the team. But he's not going to turn it down because he doesn't have love for somebody. Now, with that said, I think, like I've said before, I think guys have empathy for one another when it comes to how difficult this job is and the heat of the moment and being at the end of the game and the way we lost and the way we all played. And for Zach and his teammates, maybe there was a little irritation at the moment, but I don't think there's a grudge. I don't think there's hate. I don't think there's lingering effects when it comes to that. So to answer your question, I had no bearing on this decision.
Had no bearing on the decision is what Robert Saleh says. It's hard to believe, though, that the players, at least the leaders, were not involved in this in some way, Bart.
Yeah, you don't hold a grudge, right? I don't know. This team is very young. Mm-hmm. And even the veterans that they have on this team hasn't been here long enough. Like, it's not like it's guys that have been here for 10 years or 8 years. So, like, you know, do you go ask Dwayne Brown? I mean, he just got here. I mean, maybe C.J. Mosley, but you don't go ask D.J. Reed. He just got here, right? We talking about guys that got skin in the game with the organization. Like, when I was here, you would go ask a Damon Woody. You would go ask a Nick Mangold. You would go ask a DeBrickashaw Ferguson, right? Because they've been in this league a long time, but they, more than that, has been with this organization a long time,
right,
and have a feel of what this team needs. I don't know if anybody has, like, the gravitas or – you know, the experience or knowledge outside of C.J. Mosley to be a part of this decision. So that means
Quinton Williams?
Quinton Williams, he's still young, man. He don't he's just finding his way.
But you're right. There's not a lot of guys that have been, like Chris Candy always says, blood in the ground. Like, you don't have a lot of guys that have had a lot of blood in the ground here because they've had such a turnover of the roster.
So young.
Joe Douglas has remade this roster over the last couple of years. So there's not a lot of guys that have been here a long time.
You would go to a Sean Ellis. Right?
Yeah.
He is like Mr. Jet. You would go to somebody like that. You need somebody like that. So this was an organizational decision. And I think Joe Douglas had a big part of this because he's understood it. He's been, you know, there with Carson Wentz, right? He's been in Baltimore with you know, Steve McNair, with Kyle Bowler. He's seen all those things. I mean, I think he was there when Tony Banks got benched, right, for Trent Dilfer. Right? So, like, you need that type of experience. And you have to teach a young quarterback a lesson early because you'll lose them. So, I mean, with that being said, I mean, I believe this is the right decision. And also, it's a further discussion because if Mike White goes in there, and it's kind of hard to judge because this team, you talk about the Chicago Bears, they're a young team. They're playing a lot of their young players. They may be without Justin Fields. It can look amazing, right? It can look amazing. And if it looks amazing, I find it hard-pressed for you to take Mike White out the next week. So then Mike White, once again, you know, Mike White had a two-game audition last year. He went against the Cincinnati Bengals. He showed his ass.
Lit it up.
He showed his ass, right? And he became a thing, right? Threw for like 400 yards. And we know they don't have nearly the weapons. They didn't have nearly the weapons last year as they had this year. So what can he do with guys that's able to separate and get open? Who knows, right? But with that being said, you know, when he went to Indianapolis, he was lighting it up again. But then he got hurt.
Right.
So if he lights it up against the Bears, you give him an opportunity because he's played against big-time opponents. And you go ahead and you give him that start against is the Vikings.
At Vikings, at Bills.
Right, it's at Vikings.
The next 2 weeks are very difficult games.
Right. So it's at Vikings. So you give him a shot. And if he ball out then, how can you take him out? Mm-hmm. So Zach Wilson's sabbatical is going to go as long as Mike White balls.
Right. I got it. I know what you kind of meant there. 888-SAY-ESPN.
Yeah. I'll say sabbaticals. I got put on one before, and it was the dumbest thing ever, but they said I volunteered to take a leave of absence of work. Got kicked off the team for a little bit in college. But it's another story for another time.
Oh, that story I remember. It's not a great story. We don't need to share it here. So, all right, but will this be the end or a turning point for Zach Wilson? We'll look back at this moment, this decision, and say they had to do this now to get him right, because if they waited any longer, they might have lost him, and he might have lost the team. So was this the right decision, the wrong decision? Let us know. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. A lot of passion in New York, a lot of calls coming up on that. But first, let me tell you about LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want 100%. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available, and that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. Creating a free job post on LinkedIn Jobs is simple, easy, takes just minutes. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile and spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Bart. That's linkedin.com/Bart to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, as expected, I knew the passion was coming. Zach Wilson, if you're just joining us, will be benched by the Jets. This weekend, they play the Bears. Mike White will be the starting quarterback. Joe Flacco will be the backup. Zach Wilson will be inactive. Big decision by the Jets after poor performances of late, but then also kind of a petulant performance at the podium after an ugly, frustrating, maddening loss to New England on Sunday. The Jets are 6-4, still very much in the playoff picture. In fact, two of the four losses came to New England. So they have had a surprisingly good season. Their defense is very good. So this decision is one to certainly watch when it comes to the rest of the season. Let's hear from the callers. 1-800-800-919-3776. 888-729-3776. News from Bart Hahn Nation. Let's get Alex in New York hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, what's up, Alex? Can you hear me?
We got you.
Hello? Yeah. Oh, what's up? Barhan, yo, I love your show. I got a question. Since they're benching Zach, right? Do you think they're still trying to make the playoffs or trying to look for answers? Because if they're trying to look for answers, I think that's why they started Mike White. If they want to win the playoffs, they should have started Joe Flacco. And why don't you give Trevor a chance if you're looking for answers?
No, I think Mike White, you know, Mike White has been up. They know what Flacco can do. I think they go with Mike White because he's a little bit more athletic. He's like in between Zach Wilson and Joe Flacco. So you start Mike White because he still gives you a little bit of athleticism to buy time in the pocket and run. Not to say he's Michael Vick or anything like that, but he's more like Jimmy Garoppolo than he is like Joe Flacco, who's right now Joe Flacco's like Matt Ryan. Like if you get to him and he can't get out the way that way and he's not going to give you those off-schedule plays. So with the line being hurt, you know, Herbert and Max Mitchell being out at the guard position, the run game struggled a little bit, and also the pass protection from the interior was a little porous at times because of that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting also to see what kind of impact the rest of the offense has. Like him decision-making, Mike White, we've seen what he can do. You kind of know what he is, but can, like you mentioned,
ball's coming out on time, man.
Better playmakers, better playmakers this year could make a huge difference in what we see. Ira in New York. What's up, Ira?
Hey, Alan Bart, happy holidays, happy Thanksgiving. And this is completely a no-brainer decision. It was the right decision. This needed to be done on many, many levels. But, you know, you mentioned the locker room. You're even on the field. You break down tape. This kid is absolutely lost right now. His mechanics are shot. He doesn't know where to go with the ball. Mike White will come in. He'll settle down this team. I don't know where it's going to take us. I don't know how many games they're going to give him. As long as he plays well, they'll leave him in there. But to me, and I know this is a harsh statement, Zach's gone. He is not going to be part of this future. They are going to turn the page, and they're going to bring in a veteran next year. I wouldn't be surprised if White is a backup. Joe Douglas is going to admit that he made a mistake, and they're going to move forward because this is a win-now team. You cannot afford to waste time trying to develop Zach Wilson again next year when this team is knocking on the playoffs this year. They need a proven quarterback, and we're going to see a different guy that's not on the roster start for them next year.
Wow, Ira. I mean, Bart, can you see that? Can you see that?
I think he gets at least one more year, but I can see them maybe bringing in a real vet. A real vet, right? Because they're going to improve every part of this football team in the offseason. So if they're ready to go to the playoffs now, what do you imagine they're going to be next year? And it'll be some names that come up that may be available. We'll see if they decide to pull the trigger as far as that, or you know, make a trade for a player that can maybe potentially help them. So.
All right.
I don't think you don't give up that quickly. That's a bit harsh, but
that'd be quick. And you know, again, he's had moments where you think you're seeing it, so this might be too soon. I hope Jets fans aren't just rooting for this. We have a lot of calls to get to. We'll continue to get to them. Let's just get one more in here. Dave in Atlanta. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Here's a different take. I don't think Saleh ever wanted to draft Wilson. I mean, he doesn't pass the eye test. Especially for a football guy, he's short, he's small, he has no pocket presence. But I think he went along with management's decision because it's his first job, he's an agreeable team first guy, and now he sees this as his chance to finally move on from Wilson. I think we saw it last year with White, when White performed well, he was excited and would not commit to Wilson in the next game. But then unfortunately, White got hurt. And the team was doing badly last year, so he couldn't make a strong enough argument to move away from Wilson, yet now he can.
Mar, what do you know about the relationship between Saleh and Zach Wilson?
I mean, for me, you know, he's his first draft pick, right? He still was in the honeymoon phase, so I'm sure he had a lot to do about the selection of Zach Wilson. I think he went out there. They spent a lot of time at his pro day. They interviewed him. They had their options. They could have went three different other directions, right? They could have went with Justin Fields. They could have went with Mac and Cheese. They could have went with a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. And they decided to go, and I think that was not just an organizational decision, but I think that was a Robert Saleh.
Trey Lance was there too. I mean, obviously there were options, and they were locked on Zach Wilson. I remember the draft process pretty early in the draft process.
Exactly. And, so I think it's like, you know, listen, you can fall in love with the arm strength, and you know, as far as his size, he's not a small guy. Like, and you know, you can put size on. Hell, Lamar Jackson put on 15 pounds this last offseason.
I just think that's he's
easy to do.
Yeah, and I think what we're seeing is he's just not ready, and they keep trying to get him ready, and he's not.
He hasn't had the experience, right?
No.
He didn't have a lot of experience in college, right? That's why you see the guys that's making a jump. We don't know what Trey Lance would have been this year.
That's the thing. Trey Lance has hardly played college football as well, and
Zach as well, especially at a high level. That's why you see the guys making this transition is Justin Fields, because he's played a lot of football at Ohio State.
Right. All right. We're going to table the conversation here with you guys at 888. I'm going to get the number right eventually. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But let's dive into it deeper, because we've got somebody that let's go in the Wayback Machine, Braylon Edwards, who certainly can have an opinion on this and has experience with a young quarterback, and also talk a little rivalry weekend as well. Michigan-Ohio State, speaking of Ohio State.
Bart and Han.
Barton Hahn, presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. The calls are stacked and racked, ready to go. We will get back to them in the conversation. The breaking news at the start of the show. The Jets have decided to bench the number 2 overall pick from last year's draft, Zach Wilson. He will be inactive for Sunday's game against the Bears. Mike White, who was elevated to QB2 recently, will be the starter. Joe Flacco, the veteran, will be the backup for this game. Robert Saleh telling the media that this is not the end for Zach Wilson. But yet he also said that he will return at some point this year, that he needs a reset on some things fundamentally. Let's bring in Braylon Edwards, friend of the show, fellow Detroit Michiganer like you, Bart Scott.
3-1-3rd.
And, of course, somebody that not only had blood in the ground with the Jets, but came in that year with the Jets with a rookie quarterback in Mark Sanchez. So certainly can speak on all this. So, Braylon, first of all, happy Thanksgiving. Good to talk to you. What are your thoughts on the Jets making this move?
Gentlemen, always a pleasure to talk to you. What up, though? B. Scott.
What up, though?
In the building. It's interesting. I was thinking about yesterday when I was talking on the show, which Bart has been a viewer on that. I mean, a guest on. I really appreciate him for that. But I was thinking about it yesterday, and I was like, you know what? You don't want to bench Bart. You don't want to bench Zach Wilson at this stage in his career. These guys nowadays, they're very sensitive. They're very insecure. You get scrubbing of social. You get requesting a trade or kind of just fully disconnecting. So you don't want that to be a situation, considering you just drafted him 2 years ago as the number 2 pick overall. But at the same time, you know what? Robert Saleh is in a very crucial situation. And today, I defer from that. I agree with his decision, because you got to worry about that locker room. You got to have control over the locker room, and you got to have the guys in the building that are playing hard for you right now turn that thing around to believe in you. And I think him saying this message to Zach Wilson and all young players that play for the Jets, like, look, it's about the Jets, it's about our best interest, and it's about you fully buying in and not becoming some individual space on the team. I think he sent a message. I think he keeps his locker room. I think it's a good move for Robert Saleh.
I think it's consistent, Braylon, with everything that he's been and stood for since he's been here. We heard Elijah Moore say, I want to trade. He said, nah, you playing for us. You ain't playing for nobody else. We ain't trading you. We heard Denzel Mims, I want to trade. You know, I want to be out of here, right? And they stay consistent. So I think, you know, the consistent message is nobody is beyond reproach. And, you know, for me, looking at Zach Wilson as a guy that comes off as entitled, I think this is the message that you have to send early in his career to maybe salvage his career, because it's not about I don't know if you heard Saleh's press conference, but he said it's not about his preparation. It's not about his performance. Yep. It's about the other things that we got to get right. And the only thing I can think to get right is to be able to look those guys in the eye and say, you know, I got to hold myself accountable and take accountability for my actions.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. You know, I look at Mark Sanchez, look at another guy that was young. See, the difference in the personalities for them is, yeah, you know, Mark struggled a little bit when he was younger as well, kind of he's put on that traffic light system that I was not a fan of, but he struggled as well. The difference is Mark never struggled with being a leader of men. Like, Mark was always taking accountability of, you know, his role in a game, or taking more accountability than he should. He always deferred to Fanica. He deferred to Bart Scott. He deferred to B. Moore and Woody and LT. Like, he was very respectful, and you felt that Mark was a part of the team. You felt like he was one piece of a whole when we were all put together. With Zach, it kind of feels like it's him, and then it's the New York Jets as he tries to figure out what he wants to be in and all the off-the-field stuff. But it's not about the off-the-field stuff. It's just about his perception and persona in the media.
Braylon Edwards joining us. And that's exactly where I was going with you, too, is the comparison, because you had that experience when you came in. You were traded to the Jets, and Mark was still was a rookie that season, and you guys still had great success and, you know, what you saw differently, and that's a perfect way to describe it. But I need you to go a little deeper into the traffic light thing you just mentioned.
So my first year was I got traded. That was Mark's rookie year in the league. Yep. And it got to a point where they didn't trust Mark. They didn't trust necessarily him getting through his progressions, him going from 1-2-3 or 1-2 to check down. So they came up with a traffic light system where it was red light, it was amber light, and it was green light. And based on the color of a play is the freedom that Mark had. If it was a red light, that means he could only look at the first progression and then check down or a handoff or whatever, throw the ball away. Amber light, 1-2, and then obviously green light is green light. But that's the system they put in play for him maybe around the second game that I was there, which would have been the sixth game of the season.
Yeah, after the third three-game losing streak, because we had came out with a three-game winning streak, and then we lost three in a row.
Yeah.
And the NFL realized that he couldn't
blame me. You trying to blame me?
we had to watch that Cleveland Brown off of you, you know, and for a little bit.
This is very true. Go ahead.
But the league realized that Mark couldn't throw left across the field, so they made him throw left and realized he was inaccurate. Darren Sharper really exposed him when we went against the Saints in the fourth game of the season, two undefeated teams going against each other. But when you talk about Zach Wilson and you talk about, you know, Joe Flacco being on the team as well, you know, do you think maybe the difference as we try and compare that team to this team is the fact that they didn't have veterans? They don't really have veterans because it's a really young team. Garrett Wilson's a rookie. Elijah Moore's in his second year and had his own issues. They don't really have any veterans. Dwayne Brown just got there. You know, it's just a maybe slightly different situation because they don't have the core Jets, people that are homegrown Jets that have a lot of season and maturity within this league.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. That's kind of what I was alluding to. You said it much better than I did. But I was saying, like, that's why he would defer to the Bart Scotts or the Allen Fanicas or the LTs, because these guys are older. They're veterans. And then Woody's and then Sean Ellis, if you want to get into the nature of the Jets and actually being a homegrown Jet. But with that being said, you're absolutely correct. And also, it's just a different era, Bart. Like, if you remember that era from Mark, whether you were good or not, whether you had attitude or not, I mean, Aaron Rodgers thought he could come in 2005. My draft didn't start. Over Brett Favre, and to be honest, he maybe could have, but like that was the attitude. You had to wait your turn. You know what I'm saying? Like everything was, you know, you come up the pecking order, if you will. And I'm not saying it has to be that way, but I'm saying that was the era then and now. I mean, then versus now, guys are coming in balling. Guys are coming in like, I'm not holding your bag. Like, nah, it's not gonna be any of that. I came in, you saw what I did in the national championship.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they're backing it up. Look how many guys are coming in like fresh out of college now, and they look like they've been in the NFL for a minute. So I think that's the attitude now. But the thing is, those guys, those Justin Jeffersons, those Micah Parsons, those rare few quarterbacks, you still got a ball if you're going to act like that.
Yeah, you have to be all right. You have to do it on the field, and then guys will probably give you that slack. But that has changed. There's no question about it. Braylon, let's talk some Big Blue. Let's do that. Rivalry Week preview brought to you by Boost Mobile. Switch to Boost Mobile for the power to save on one of America's largest 5G networks. You yourself, of course, a proud Michiganer. So let me ask you then, game you have, I mean, it's 2-3. This is a huge, these Michigan-Ohio State matchups are always big every year, but like, discuss the magnitude for me of this game for both teams.
What I love about it is this year, you know, last year was a huge magnitude too. Yep. Last year was fighting for playoff implications, but neither team was undefeated last year. Like, neither team was undefeated this year. Both teams are undefeated. This takes you back to 2006 when it was 1-2 in the game. And obviously Ohio State won due to a penalty on Crable on the sideline. But it's huge. This is what it used to be about. Like, Bart, you remember growing up in Detroit?
Yeah.
Every November, Ohio State and Michigan was going to decide who's going to the Rose Bowl, who's a Big Ten champion, and who possibly has a chance to get into the national championship picture. That's what the rivalry was for years. And then it got away from that as Michigan kind of fell from grace. Now it's back. Last year, playoff, Big Ten implications. This year, undefeated, a chance for a number one seed and Big Ten championship and playoff implications. Like, it's huge. And now you got Harbaugh and Ryan Day. You got a modern classic, a modern Woody and Bo, if you will. Hmm. It's going to be fun to watch. I just wish we weren't coming. Everybody was injured in this game. Seems like all the stars. Seems like it's just so many stars that are injured. But you know what? That's where you really find out who's a better coach and who's a stronger team.
And you have payback. And right, the implications are because Michigan doesn't have a strong out-of-conference schedule, that if they lose this game, it could be it for them. If they win this game, Ohio State still could be able to have an opportunity and a way to maybe sneak into the top four if TCU continues to struggle or not look impressive. What's the magnitude and what's your confidence level when you talk about, you know, this game? And is this, where would this rank as far as the stakes being as high? Where was this rank as far as the all-time importance of Ohio State versus Michigan?
I wish you had the all-time. In terms of the magnitude of it, it probably could be up there as far as number three or number two or even number one. I mean, because you're looking at it from this standpoint, last year Ohio State, and just look at everything in a 365-day snapshot, Michigan beats Ohio State for the first time in 8 or 10 years, second time in almost 20 years. They beat Ohio State. They go to the Big Ten Championship, win the Big Ten Championship, go to the playoffs, lose to Georgia. Fast forward, Harbaugh almost leaves the school. You know, Gaddis left the school. You're coming back. The offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator left the school. You don't know what you're going to do. You bench the quarterback that essentially got you to the playoffs and won your first Big Ten title since 03. All that happens, and you still go undefeated. And yet you still have Jim Harbaugh's comment about Ryan Day last year being born on third base. Ryan Day not liking that. So you set all that up. And you're talking about 2 days after Thanksgiving, one versus two, it has the makings to be number one of all time. The game itself, that would be a different story.
Yeah, I mean, again, rivalry week's always fun, but this game, always special, one of the must-watches of the weekend. A proud Michigan man, Braylon Edwards. Appreciate the time,
you're number one. You got to be real to wear that number one at Michigan.
That is true.
Hey, you know what time? I was born from Detroit. I was destined for it. I appreciate you guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Likewise.
Thank you, Braylon. That's great insight from Braylon Edwards, not just, of course, on the Michigan-Ohio State stuff, but I thought his takes on the Zach Wilson situation and how Robert Saleh really didn't have a choice. He had to make this move. All interesting stuff. We got a lot of people that want to sound off on that. Your turn comes next with the calls. It's Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's continue with news from Barton Hahn Nation. We've got Alan in Boston hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call line. What's up, Alan?
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, at least morning where I am.
Okay.
I just wanted to quickly touch on this. I think, like, the Patriots and the Jets, the difference has been traditionally is that Belichick will move off of somebody. Like, he can mitigate loss better than anybody. He doesn't hit on everything, but he doesn't stick with something that's just going to bury him in the ground. No matter where they're drafted, no matter what they're getting paid, Drew Bledsoe is the perfect example of that. When we moved on to Brady, Drew Bledsoe was our first $100 million player.
Yeah.
That year, the ink just dried. And I think this is a great move by Saleh because I think this consolidates power for him. And if it doesn't work out for Wilson, that's fine. But the rest of the team won't sink with him.
I noticed that you said we, first of all. I don't think that went, you know, above my head. But secondly, like, you know, you saw that earlier this season with Mac Jones and Zappe.
Yep.
But, you know, sometimes, you know, Bill can be – he can be loyal to a fault sometimes. I mean, N'Keal Harry, he tried to work that to all the juice was squoze out, and he just said, you know what, this kid can't play. But to your point, you know, Saleh did something that was better for the long-term health. Because now you may lose one player in Zach Wilson, but you gain the respect and admiration of the other 52 on the team, which is going to up your likelihood to be successful in the league.
Let me ask you this, Bart. When you say that, because I know Dan Orlovsky said the same thing too, the idea of risking losing Zach Wilson. If you lose him over something like this, did you ever have him?
I don't know. I mean, he start pouting. I mean, you look at you almost but lost.
You start doing that, like Braylon was saying. Oh, he starts scrubbing his social media. You start doing that after the way you played an act. Then you know what? Then you're not. They're definitely. You're only proving that you're not the guy going forward. Let's grab a few more calls.
Kyler Murray did, and they paid him $180 million.
Yeah, that was. But that was always over the contract. Frank is in New York. What's up, Frank?
What's up, guys? I just got to give you your props. You guys are the best thing in sports talk radio. Period.
Appreciate you.
I have a quick question, a quick comment. The question goes to you, Alan. The quarterbacks you all named, has any one of them ever had a half a football where they generated 2 total yards in their career?
I don't know if Christian Hackenberg ever had one total yard in his career. I can't remember him. Did he even start? Did he play?
I think you better go back to the stats. I think
Chris Sims had more than 2 yards.
Chris Sims might have, yeah. I mean, Geno had
or Matt Sims,
a good
sorry,
first
Matt Sims,
year.
Matt Sims, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
I know who you meant. You know, Browning started, too. Like, they played. Geno had a good year. Sam would have an occasional good game. I don't think Zach has played that poorly, but like he's just lately he's played really bad. But he's had moments too where you feel like, but that half was inexcusable. I'll tell you what, Frank. Let me pose it to you. Do you think that Salah should have might have made this decision during the game?
Absolutely. Thank you. I was going to get to that because I was going to go to my comment towards Bart. I agree with Bart 1,000%. Zach's going to be out as long as our boy Mike White is balling, and he should have did this at the half. Listen, you got a top-flight pitcher, and he gets lit up for 6 runs in the first inning. You go out, you take the ball from him. Listen, sit down, it ain't your day. Plain and simple.
Right.
And I got to be honest with you, it's a small sample size from last year, but I think Mike White is a good quarterback. Yeah. I'm really hoping that he takes the ball and goes with it. And you know what? If he gets us to the promised land, or at least close this year, I think we got a serious competition. If not, Mike White might pull ahead of Zach Wilson, and that's going to be that.
I mean, last time we saw something like this, it was RG3 and Kirk Cousins.
Thanks, Frank. It was who?
It was RG3 and Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins was the second-round draft pick,
yeah.
Or fourth-round draft pick, I believe. RG3 was first round.
Taylor Heinicke and everybody else that he's had to go up against in Washington. I mean, whether it's Fitzpatrick or obviously now Carson Wentz. I mean, you do have, and again, obviously Tom Brady is the greatest story of all, where he just outplayed the $100 million quarterback and the Patriots didn't look back.
I mean, Matt Flynn and Russell Wilson.
Yeah, Russell Wilson.
He just got paid $10 million, which was big back then.
Listen, it would be a bit of a disaster if Zach Wilson never starts another game for the Jets. But if he doesn't start because Mike White proves himself to be a capable starter, I mean, it's not.
I mean, Tyler.
It's not bad news.
Tyler Huntley's always out there. If Lamar get picked up, Tyler.
Let's talk with a former NFL quarterback about Zach Wilson's benching next. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn podcast. You can listen to the guys live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen and watch the guys on the ESPN app. This is the Barton Hahn podcast.